Hey guys, it's Alex. Before the podcast starts, I want to remind you that this week's episode was brought to you by the guys from Wizardry Foundry. They're the makers of the Grimoire deck box. It's deck boxes for cubes, and they just launched their Pro Tour version, so they have one now for competitive deck play. They're, you know, they look like leather-bound, old-timey books, so you feel like a real wizard when you're challenging your opponents and you throw spells at them out of your deck box. I generally throw cards at my opponents. That's how I win. That's how you play Magic, right? I use one. They're cool. That's where we keep our gauntlet. They're pretty sweet. Because they actually finished their Kickstarter today, they are giving us a special deal of 15% off on all products. If you go to their website, wizardryfoundry.com, and put in the code Kickstart underscore MM, that's KICKSTART underscore MM, you will get 15% off. And they will know that you did it, and they will send us love, maybe more love in the future. Thanks a lot, and I will see you guys as soon as the music ends.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Moth.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, and I'm here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What is going on, everybody?
So, today I asked you guys on Twitter, and we're going to actually talk about our picks first and then get your answers, but we're talking about the cards that are not modern legal currently that we wish were. So this includes all cards pre-8th edition and all cards that may have come out in Commander,
Conspiracy,
Plane Chase, those kind of cards. Now, some things that don't count, we're not talking about any cards that are banned.
And there are a lot more cards that, obviously there's a ton of options here. What we try to do is go through and say, okay, we like Legacy as a format, we like Modern as a format. We're not trying to overpower Modern here. We just were thinking, what are some properly balanced cards that if they were to find a way to release them, possibly in maybe another expansion set or possibly, probably not through Standard, but definitely the possibility of like Modern Masters 3, maybe you'd see them show up there.
Yeah, I think some of these could be standard legal.
Some of them.
And the other, like, two sides. One, something we looked at that is important, is there are cards that are, like, maybe not too powerful, but would make decks that are already good better. So we definitely were trying to look for cards that try and add something new to the format that's not there already.
And the reason some of these cards you'll find they wouldn't be able to go through Standard unless Standard were designed to feature these mechanics, because some of them are very specific mechanics that only showed up in certain sets.
Right. So, well, I mean, that, especially with the Conspiracy and Commander product ones, These are cards that really couldn't appear in Standard, and that's why they printed them there. So they're like, oh, this is a cool card we thought of that would fit on a Lara block if we thought about it.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So, like, that's one of the limitations. Another thing to keep in mind is, you know, Modern Masters 2015 is coming out, and a lot of people have talked about, is that a good place where Wizards could possibly reprint cards to introduce them in the Modern? That is definitely something that if they printed, say, Wasteland, which is on either of the lists because that'd be too powerful, in Modern Masters 2015, it theoretically they could just say, okay, that is now Modern legal. Now all Wastelands are Modern legal, and Wasteland is now a Modern legal card. So that's
definitely too powerful.
The reason I'm using it as an example is not to spoil what's going to happen, but more of the point is this is something, you know, Modern Masters is a set and a release object that could be used to release things into Modern without having to put it in the Standard.
Exactly.
And maybe it's not happening in 2015, but maybe if we, you know, everyone keeps talking about it, it could be happening for 2017.
So what Alex and I did is we each went through and we chose one for each color, as well as one artifact, one land, and one gold card.
Right. Before we start, I do want to remind everyone that they can follow us on Twitter and shout it at us while they listen to it, and we will respond. Do you think we're wrong about a card? Is it too powerful for Modern? Is it just dumb and wouldn't do anything to the format?
Or is there something super obvious that we missed that you're like, how is your green card not
right.
this?
We want to hear those, so we are at the MMCast on Twitter. Also, remind you to rate us on iTunes. It's important. The more stars we have, the more microphones we can buy. We actually have to throw a microphone away every episode, so if you don't help us here, it becomes a huge problem.
It's like Peter Pan when a fairy dies when something happens.
Just clap your hands, but instead of clapping, rate with stars on iTunes. And last but not least, make sure to check out our YouTube channel. We're releasing videos there. We'll sometimes release deck techs that we don't release on the podcast there as well, so you can go check that out. Some cool content's there. The YouTube channel is Top Decking TV.
Yeah, we love to tweet at you guys. You have been very active recently, which is really cool for us. It's really fun to hear what you guys think and to be interacting more and more with ideas and deck ideas and all kinds of things. So please keep doing that. So the way we're going to do this today is We are going to take turns one at a time. We're going to do one card of each color, one gold card, one land, and one artifact. This won't function the same way that we do our countdowns because Alex and I will not be arguing about Spellskite here. So let's get started, Alex, with your white card.
We're doing white first? All right. So my white card, and it's up there with low. Actually, most of my things cost one mana, but it is Mother of Ruins. So for those who don't know, it's one white for a 1/1 that can tap and give protection from a specific color to a creature that you control. It's really good. It's kind of the back of green-white decks in Legacy, but it also offers an interaction with Lightning Bolt that kind of really isn't out there right now. It makes it so creature removal isn't as good, which could offer interesting dynamics to the format.
And the reason that this card, I don't think, is too powerful, we could be wrong about this, but I think the primary white decks that you would put this into would be green-white, but if you're putting, or green-white-black decks, if you're putting it into, like, a creature deck like that to, like, say, protect your Siege Rhinos, your Tarmogoyfs, you're having to play a 1-1 for one, which means you're sacrificing threat density, or you're sacrificing removal, or disruption. Like, the cards in that deck are so good anyway that putting in a 1-1 for one that's
right,
not
and
an
in
offensive
that deck,
threat.
Your bad matchups aren't really the ones that are trying to remove your creatures. Your bad matchups are combo decks that are trying to just go wider than you or burn, which Mother Runes would be okay against.
Beyond that, like other white decks, I mean, I can't really. I guess this maybe would go into like Soul Sisters or something so you could protect your Sarah Ascendant or something like that, maybe. But I think most of the white decks you're playing aren't going to really need this card.
I mean, what I would imagine, well, that's, and that maybe is a reason not to have it. I mean, you don't want to introduce a card this powerful without, like, growing decks available to the format. So, like, really, Soul Sisters maybe is one, but also, like, green, white specific hate bird decks like Gaddock Teague and Thalia and kind of like the rock decks and prison decks that don't really exist right now, but are probably on fringe levels.
Except, yeah, that
is true.
They're all
so weak to Lightning Bolt, and this would offer a way to kind of get around that.
Yeah, it also means that you're like the some of the white, red, blue Delver shelves that have existed in the past where people talk about protecting your Delver. This is like another way to protect through removal with your like cheap 3/2 flyer for one that is maybe a little powerful for this format.
Yeah, this is probably my loosest and probably the, well, we'll see. But so I guess moving on, what's your white card?
So mine's kind of a funky card. This is a card that was introduced in Conspiracy called Council's Judgment, and it costs white, colorless. It's a sorcery. The ability is Will of the Council, which is a strangely worded ability, but what it essentially says in Modern is exile a non-land permanent. That's what it says. It actually, the correct wording is, starting with you, each player votes for a non-land permanent you don't control. Exile each permanent with the most votes or tied for most votes. Because there's only two of you, and it will always be tied for most votes, if it's advantageous to you, you will be choosing a creature, enchantment, or artifact to exile because you can't choose a land.
Right. And I think one of the reasons this is probably, I mean, the reason you would want to add this is it's kind of a catch-all answer to all hexproof creatures that ever come out for white. And right now, I mean, you know, decks like Noggles might become too powerful if you print the right enchantment, or, you know, Geist of St. Traf might come back into play. There are enough hexproof things, and Wizards has gotten more afraid of printing hexproof creatures.
Right.
So you'd want something that maybe can handle it, and say, like, a mistake like True Name Nemesis accidentally gets printed and is put in Modern. This is a good catch-all answer that will kind of cover all of your bases that just works a little bit better than O-Ring does currently in the format.
It's the same thing as Oblivion Ring or Banishing Light.
Yeah.
It's just you can't be removed with the Abrupt Decay for like instant speech.
Right,
running,
exactly.
So you get the permanent back. So I think this is not super complicated. I don't, like, I'm sure if it was in the format, people would play it. It would show up.
Right. I think the biggest limitation is the fact that it says Will of the Council on it.
That's what I mean. And that's introducing that into Modern without any context seems like kind of weird. And
right. Which is why this is a prime example of a card that have to be printed in something like a Modern Masters 2017 or 15 or like a Modern event deck that all the cards here, some of them might not be legal in Modern, but because we printed it with this event deck, they now are legal in Modern.
Which is like a really clumsy way. And that's like with this podcast today, we don't really have a great explanation of how this would work. We're just sort of suggesting cards that we feel like the power level and the effect would be a good thing to have in the format.
And I do think Wizards, it's not crazy for them to print a white, colorless, remove, you know, choose a creature in play, remove it from the game.
Yeah.
Effect. I mean, that's basically what this card says, so that's definitely something that might be viable. And that you don't need Will of the Council on this card.
No. All right, I will move us on to the next one. I think this is a favorite of yours, Alex. Blue?
Blue? The color blue. Am I going first? You going first?
You go first.
All right, my pick is Daze. I've actually mentioned this before. I think the way the format currently works is after turn two, it is much more difficult to tap out without some type of permission spells and discard. I mean, one of the reasons I think Abzan is just classically so strong in this format is because it's the only real interactive way people have that's, you know, powerful, that being Thoughtseize. And what Daze does is allows you to kind of tap out threats while also being able to protect yourself versus I lose that next turn. So, you know, like Infect can kill you if you tap out. Splinter Twin kills you if you tap out. This allows you to kind of interact with them, or at least make them interact with you, versus them just being, oh, you tapped out the wrong time, I win.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I think we've talked a lot in brewing conversations about cards that sort of the major limitations in the format and why it's hard to build and be brewy and come up with clever things. And this card is particularly good in Legacy because it's supported by a few other key cards, Wasteland probably being the biggest one.
Right.
There is no Wasteland in this format. So Daze to me feels like a really great way for aggressive blue decks. Like I think probably the deck that worries me the most is Merfolk. If you put this into Merfolk. I think Merfolk could just become ridiculously powerful and very hard to interact with early on.
I mean, but this similar to Force of Will, like I don't think Force of Will is good for modern Magic. But I do think this offers a similar effect, but decks can play around it. The way decks interact right now, I don't think it'd be too strong because your Lightning Bolt still at most costs 2 mana.
Right.
And it definitely offers something, like, there is something to be said for the ability to tap out and play a counterspell, and it's exciting, and this is one that at least offers a game to it versus Force of Will, which is just like, oh, you lose. Or you just like, I can't look out for it.
I think the big argument for Daze to be in the format, what I like so much about it, and I think that's the reason it's such an elegant answer for this slot, is because Shocklands in Modern and the two life involved make playing Daze in a multicolored deck very painful.
Right, there's a real cost to returning. There's a real cost, even if everyone was playing basic islands or like dual lands, where you don't put shocks into play, but like shocks make this a real cost.
Yeah, I like Daze a lot. I think I would definitely play a lot of Dazes if they were legal. So my blue card is actually kind of in the same family. It's Stifle. And it's
equal but opposite.
Yeah, like it shows up in a lot of the same Legacy decks, like the Rug deck. Obviously, Trickbind is legal in Modern. For those of you who don't know who Trickbind is, it's one blue, one colorless for counter target activated or triggered ability, but it has Split Second, so you can't react to it. It has to go on the stack and resolve first. Stifle is that, except without Split Second, for one blue.
Yeah.
The major use Stifle has in Legacy and the same use that it would have in Modern is that you Stifle the search trigger on a fetch land. So it's a land destruction spell responsively.
Well, it's like a cheaper Shadow of Doubt, but I think it's more powerful, A, because A, it's one mana.
Yep.
B, it is more versatile. You're not just shutting down searching. You can counter, like, buy yourself a turn with a Splinter Twin trigger, or, you know, there are many different things you might be able to do with it. But it also makes it, like, a lot of people's complaints were Modern. Like, there's a huge group of people that are like, you know, fetch lands are the problem.
Right.
Fetch lands cause a lot of shuffling, and, you know, every deck is just free to play any mana they want, blah, 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 blah. And Stifle is a very real threat to that game plan, which encourages more, you know, more interesting choices when you're building your mana base because there's actually risk.
Yeah, I think that's true. It also is nice with some of the really unfair things that Modern can do with decks like Amulet Bloom and abilities like Primeval Titan. For instance, if you were able to Stifle Primeval Titan's Enter the Battlefield ability, that would slow that deck weight. It would screw the whole combo up.
Right. Well, and not to mention you just Stifling an Amulet trigger.
Yeah, or Stifling a Pact trigger so you don't lose. I mean, this is the kind of card, when we were talking about Is Modern Broken with Matt Sperling about a month and a half ago, and I was talking about the sort of card, the sort of catch-all answer that I wish existed, that some weird, like, you can't lose the game, cantrip-y hybrid card that'll never get printed. This is kind of like a realistic example of that card. This is something that does a lot of the same things and functions for decks in a lot of the same ways to not lose. So I like Stifle. It's a little fringe if it would be too powerful. I think it's right on the edge. I definitely think the case of the Feel Bads would happen a lot if you just like played your land, then they played their land, and then they tried to crack and you Stifled. Like,
yeah, I think the issue is Snapcaster plus Stifle decks just being like, oh, you can't play lands for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But does that just make it so people play less fetch lands? And that,
maybe.
I think that's what we're looking at as the benefit.
And that's, you know, that is possibly beneficial. Let's move on to black.
All right. So my black card is weird. It's possibly too powerful I mean, once you get into the realm of, you know, these kind of effects, like we were talking about Entomb before the podcast started, but I picked Bury Alive.
Oh, okay.
So it's one black, two colorless. You search for three creature cards from your deck, and you put them in your graveyard. It's kind of the fair in Tomb. In Tomb, for those who don't know, lets you put any card in your deck for one black mana into your graveyard.
At instant speed.
At instant speed. So this is a sorcery. You're tapping out. I mean, like, the most powerful things I could think of doing is just, like, three Vengevines, maybe, and A, obviously that makes me happy.
Alex would, like, poop his pants.
But beyond that, I mean, I don't think there's that many crazy powerful things you could do because you have to only be able to find for creatures. The moment it says sorcery, I don't think this is that much better than, say, Gifts on Given.
Yeah, I think what I really like, I mean, there's a lot of things that are cool about this idea.
Right.
Three mana, it's not color oppressive. I think you could do some really stupid things, like play, like, two copies of Miss Hologriffin and that stupid Scab 5/6 flyer for three that you have to exile three creatures when you play it from your graveyard. Scab something,
right.
Whatever it's called, Dominator or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ruinator, I think. But
it's Scab Ruinator.
Yeah. I do
like
that.
There's the new the Twister Tormental, whatever, with the mythic from Fate Reforged that also has that same effect.
Where you can play it from exile.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I think that there are some funny things you could do. I also think that there are some reanimator strategies in the format that would be, like, really, really powerful. The idea to play this on three instead of four with gifts.
Is that much better with gifts ungiven? Like, you
well,
just
cost four, though. Even though it's an instant.
But it's an instant speed. I three mana sorcery is equal to instant speed to me as a four instant speed four drop.
Well, that's why I think this would be reasonable. I just think that you could get, I think you could get clever because we've talked about black as the control color before. So you
right.
have a Thoughtseize on turn one. So you have the ability to protect yourself before playing this card.
Right.
So you control the game in the first two turns. Then you play Buried Alive, assuming that on turn four you'll be doing something with those three creatures. I don't think that you get overwhelmingly powerful with that ability. But when there are enough options in Modern as far as, like, creatures that can do things in the graveyard, you definitely can get, like, can you imagine playing this and getting, like, three Bloodghasts? Or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
but that's not even, I would even argue that that's not amazing. I mean, yes, it is. You're getting six power on the board, but they're also Camp Block and, like, a Tarmogoyf just brick walls your whole team.
Well,
like
one of them.
Yeah, but then, I mean, you have to keep, yeah, I mean, it would be good. Don't get me wrong. But that's kind of the reason it's interesting. Like, that deck doesn't exist.
Right.
I don't think that deck is too powerful. I think it gets hurt by the fact that there's great graveyard hate in the format. There's great answers to a lot of the things you'd be trying to do. I mean, we're talking about Gifts Ungiven comparably, but Gifts Ungiven isn't playable in the format. I mean, it is played, but it's tier three.
Right. I mean, these effects are really interesting. Like, for instance, like, Intuition's way too powerful. Intuition's, like, insane.
Oh, yeah.
And Gifts is, like, on the edge of too powerful. Gifts is, like, very good, but, like, fair because it costs four.
Right.
In theory, Buried Alive is not too powerful. I do kind of think, I mean, this is one of the interesting ones to me because, guys, do any of you have a particular or interesting idea using Buried Alive where you could do something
completely
unfair that we're missing? Because it seems fair to me, but I also feel like there could be some combo of three cards that I'm just like,
that you don't know of and someone would break immediately. Yeah, it is dangerous. I'm not saying it's not dangerous, but I do think it gives decks that don't exist in the format legs that they don't currently have.
I like
Moving
that.
On, what's your black card?
My black card is Cabal Therapy.
Speaking of Bloodghasts.
Yeah, so Therapy is, like, definitely a big legacy card. It's one black, sorcery, name an on-land card, target player reveals his or her hand and discards from it all cards with that name, flashback, sacrifice a creature. So this is, the whole thing with Therapy and what makes this good is you play the first one, and you, once you kind of know what's in their hand, you play the second one.
Well, there's a few things that play with this. A, it's great with Gataxian Probe.
Right.
B, it's pretty good. Like, the fact that it's, like, the interaction that graveyard decks have.
Right.
Because you mill your deck, and then you're like, oh, I have spells that interact with you in an interesting way. I bring my Bloodghast back, and I have no use for it. So, or I use a fetch land, and so, like, I play it regular Bloodghast. I sack it, get rid of a card from my hand, and then fetch.
Right.
And you get the, like, it does, you know, Gataxian Probe Light. It's also a sack outlet. It does a lot of interesting things. I've heard talk that Wizards has almost printed it in Innistrad. Like, it almost actually made it in there.
Right.
But they thought just a one-mana discard spell like this was too powerful for the format.
In the same format as Lingering Souls?
Right.
Yeah, that sounds pretty unfair.
Which is fair. And so, but I do think if we saw Flashback come back, this is a card that definitely is on everyone in Wizards' list to be like, this could probably be.
It's right on the edge. Yeah. Like I said,
if Thoughtseize is not, and arguably Thoughtseize may be too powerful for Standard, but this isn't that much worse and or better than Thoughtseize.
I mean, the tough thing about this card is, like I said, if you have any kind of strategy that can just doesn't care about losing one creature or can, like, sack it and get a token out of it or something, you're very often going to get a 3-for-1. Like, it's very likely you'll get a 3-for-1 or at least a 2-for-3.
Well, if you,
I mean, like, the way you get a two-for-one or a three-for-one is if, like, if you get Taxi and Probe and you know what's in their hand or you guess correctly, which is an interesting game on its own. The fact that, like, I have to know what my opponent's playing and I have to know, oh, if they tapped their lands this way or they played that lands, what does that mean they probably have? Let me guess. I mean, like, one of my favorite moments ever was blindly sat down to a – it was, like, a side event, a legacy side event, and I was playing Dredge and I had Cabal Therapy and I cast it and – I'm just like, okay, what's the worst possible card? And it was Aether Vial. And I was like, okay, Aether Vial, whatever. I'm not going to get it. And he had two in his hand. I was like, yes. Best moment ever. But yeah, I mean, like, it's definitely an interesting card. I think it offers an interesting play style. And once again, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Yeah, interesting. All right, red, go ahead.
My red card
is Goblin Piledriver.
No. Yeah. My red card is Goblin Ringleader.
Is this the this is the one that gets you top four cards and you get all goblins?
Yes. Yeah,
four
exactly.
Drop though?
It's a four drop.
Yeah.
But it has haste. So you're swinging for two that turn. One of the reasons I was looking at a few goblin cards, like Goblin Piledriver is a possible one, though I don't think it's as good because blue isn't around.
Right.
You know, Goblin Matron is another option. There's a few kind of cards in there. Goblins is a deck that is powerful in every other Eternal format or has been, and it's never really gone in there. In Modern, and adding a cool card draw engine that I don't think this isn't too powerful. Like, at best, you're getting a four drop that you get a 2/2 that draws you four cards if you get blindly lucky. And probably on average, you're getting two cards, maybe three.
Right.
Like, seems decent, and it does cool things with, like, Warden Instigator in the format. Right. It definitely offers, like, a cool deck that doesn't exist. Goblins is just currently not a deck.
I've been killed at a Modern tournament before. Like, I've died with Goblin Grenade before. Like,
Right. Yeah.
I like a PTQ.
There is a Goblin deck in Modern. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. It's just very, it's like
tier 4.
It's
like a fringe deck.
It's like the mono black infect decks. And
it's like not as good as mono red, just basic burn. Yeah. So just people just don't play it.
Right. But I do think you get enough card draw engines or engines in there in general, it could bring it over the top. And this is one of the main engines.
Did you read what the card did?
Yeah. It is a one red for three colorless for a 2/2 haste. When it enters play, you reveal the top four cards of your library and you get to put all goblin cards revealed this way into your hand.
Yeah. So it's just, it's a refill. It's a tribal refill on four. Yeah. Each one of the tribal decks from Onslaught?
Mask Block. Onslaught. It's a mask.
Oh, that's Apocalypse.
Okay.
There was one for each color. There was Whirlpool Rider, I think, was
yeah,
for
there's,
Merfolk.
There's elves have one, Merfolk, Goblins, Soldiers, and yeah. I think Zombies? Zombies.
Yeah,
four.
And they're cool cards. They're more fun for casual formats, honestly, but Goblins, because it's aggressive, and the refill, because a lot of your creatures have haste, and the next turn you can drop like three
creatures. Drop your hand out again, or you cast this, and you hit with a Warden Instigator, so you get to put both of the Goblins you get into play.
Right.
It definitely does powerful things. But it's a four drop, so it sees play in Legacy. I would imagine it would see play in Modern.
Right. So that is your red card.
Yes,
my
red card
is Sulfuric Vortex. And this is a card that is like, it's really, really obnoxious to have to play against. Rug Delver has played this card in its sideboard for a long time.
I mean, Burn would play this card tomorrow.
Yeah, Burn, exactly. It's two red, one colorless enchantment. It's from Scourge. It says at the beginning of each player's upkeep, Sulfuric Vortex deals two damage to that player. If a player would gain life, that player gains no life instead. There are some cards that are similar to this already. Another card that exists is Pyrostatic Pillar, which I think is also from Scourge. And I think that's the one that whenever a player plays, it's the Eidolon of the Great Revels, except the enchantment version.
Right.
So these are cards that are a little dangerous to have because they make the gameplay tenuous and not
just
very
much fun.
Just imagine
Goblin Guide into Eidolon into this.
Yeah, this would be like really powerful.
Right.
But
I don't think it might not be too powerful. Burn already has a lot of strengths and it doesn't need as much help.
Yeah.
Is my one fear.
This is slow. Is the other thing though?
Yeah.
It costs three and it doesn't do two damage until turn four.
Right.
So like, I mean, you're going to do six damage on turns four, five, and six out of this card.
Right, I think
opponent.
It's definitely more of a sideboard card against control decks, and it definitely is an answer to their answers, which does offer a play. That is interesting decisions you have to make in deck building and play style.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a benefit, and that adds to the format. Does it make Burn too good? Possibly.
Maybe,
Not to mention, imagine Goblin Guide into Eidolon, into this, into any of the red devotion spells that just, like, dome them to the face for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, it could get really out of hand.
Yeah,
There's no doubt. But I don't think that this card would make Burn so much better that I think it would make it oppressive. I think this would just give a different angle. One of the things I really enjoy in deck building is when you look at a strategy that's kind of straightforward and you say, okay, this is the really creature-heavy version. This is the less creature-heavy version. This is the more kind of like dink and dunk, sort of like jumping through hoops to achieve the same thing, but its synergy is more powerful in the long game version. I like when you can take a basic strategy and the game has evolved enough that there are different ways to come at it. And to me, this is like, this is a non-creature spell that's going to deal you damage consistently that you have to have removal for an enchantment to get rid of it.
Right, right.
And I like that.
Yeah. Moving on, colors. Green.
Okay, yeah.
My green pick was Wirewood Symbiote.
Oh, so elves.
Yeah, so going in the same tribal theme. Elves of the deck in Modern, it doesn't really exist. One of the reasons there's no card advantage engine for that deck, really, that is available, or at least a good one. There are some that like make you go into blue, but even then, the split card from Dragon Maze.
Oh, the Beck and Call.
Yeah, Beck and Call, Beck.
Yeah.
But it ended up not doing anything for the deck. I definitely think this is a card that offers that doesn't do anything too powerful. It does make your elves better against removal because you could return them to your hand at instant speed and you like can definitely ramp hard with him. But I think the interesting play of just being able to, you know, do a card draw engine, adding elves to the format, which is an interesting deck that doesn't, like, there aren't many decks right now that like warrant board wipes or go wide in combo form. So like this definitely adds something interesting to the format. And it's another deck. It's another play style. And making that powerful doesn't seem like a problem.
Sure.
And it doesn't have its like gluttonous things like Gaia's Cradle or any of the, I'm going to cheat giant 8/8s into play.
For the record, talking about cheating giant creatures into play, Kessler's other green card that we didn't go with was this sweet commander card that like I hadn't even heard of because I don't really play a lot of commander and it costs 5.
Titania from the green commander decks, which is a 5/3 that whenever you sack a land, you get another 5/3 into play.
And it gets land back into play when you play it. So it's essentially like dropping 10 power for 5 mana.
It seems overrated.
The argument is that like it plays really well with Lotus Cobra, so like it's turn 3 Lotus Cobra 10 power, but like there's no good Lotus Cobra deck. And this
that's not even just the argument. The argument, it's something interesting. It's a 5 drop, so it can't be that good.
No, yeah, yeah. I was like entertained by
you're also getting 10 power on the board, so okay.
I was entertained by the idea, but making elves, the traditional elves deck, actually a thing seems more legitimate, because I don't think that...
By legitimate, you mean boring.
Boring. I mean, you have to ask yourself the question. Elves has no problem generating mana, so getting 2 for a Beck instead of 1 for a Glimpse of Nature is like probably actually not that hard to do.
The issue is not the extra mana, it's the blue mana.
Yeah, but I still feel like that probably gets really out of hand, but well, who knows?
Yeah.
My green card is Nimble Mongoose, the other 1 drop that existed before Delver of Secrets existed in Rug Delver when it used to be called...
Canadian Thresh.
Canadian Thresh.
Yeah, because Canadians.
Right.
And Threshold was the mechanic on Mongoose.
Because it's 1 green for a 1/1 creature Mongoose. Nimble Mongoose can't be the target of spells or abilities. Threshold, Nimble Mongoose gets +2/+2. Here's the reason that I think this card is reasonable in Modern. Obviously, it has proven to be very, very good in Legacy over time. So you can sort of argue that putting another difficult to interact with 1 drop with 3 power on the board is a pain.
Right.
My argument is like, I don't think creatures that aren't evasive on turn 1 are that insane. Like, people don't play in a coddle, really. It doesn't really seem.
Zoo is a deck. I think the argument here, though, is that one of the things that makes Rug Delver or Teemer Delver or Canadian Thresh good in Legacy is the land destruction package. And in Modern, that land destruction package doesn't exist, which makes the Modern format more of a mid-range format. Right. And Mongoose just isn't good against Tarmogoyfs into, you know, Rhinos.
And Liliana gets played a lot.
Just a perfect answer for the card. And Lingering Souls blocks it for days. It doesn't have, like, Trample or anything. I definitely think it's not too powerful. I think if Nakhtal is powerful enough, this can't be that much better.
Well, here's a question for you guys, because this is something I've thought about a bunch of times. As you know, I'm like definitely a big fan of trying to take cards that seem like they're fringe or just like don't get a lot of attention for whatever reason and like trying to like make them into a deck. I've tried to I've tried to play it, but I've thought about Scythe Tiger a number of times. Now, for those of you who don't remember what Scythe Tiger is, it's 1 green for a 3/2 shroud. When it enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless you sacrifice a land. So it means that you get a 3/2 shroud on turn 1 and you sack your land. That's just how this card works. And it means you're a turn behind on mana, but if you play your deck in such a way where you're playing, say, like Vapor Snags and cheap counterspells and things like that, you're getting basically a Mongoose. You're almost getting a Mongoose on turn 1. And that's not really playable in Modern. It's too easy to block. Obviously, not losing a land makes Mongoose much better. I just don't think that Mongoose is that much better in the Modern format that it would become unfair.
Right. There are enough answers to it. Vaguely, maybe too powerful. And obviously, I don't know if, like, this in the format means Stifle and Daze should be in the format. Like, there's, like, not all these cards should show up at the same time.
Right, of course.
But, you know, I guess the moral of the story is that me and Ben really want Scavenging Ooze to be really good.
I mean, and for the record, guys, just because this is something I've been thinking about recently, if any of you think that Scythe Tiger, like, if you have an idea, tweet at me about that, because this is something I've been trying to, like, sort of figure out for a while. Could you make Scythe Tiger work in Modern? If you have an idea, let me know.
I have an idea right now. You just play that with Vendrines. Wonderful. And then you get other things. All right, I don't know. All right, next, gold cards.
Oh, excellent.
So we are out of colors. My gold card is a fan favorite Legacy staple.
Say it.
Baleful Strix.
Yes!
It is a blue-black artifact bird 1/1 flyer that draws you a card when it comes into play and has Death Touch.
This is on my list of top 5 favorite Magic cards ever printed, by the way.
I think it's top 8 is the new cool thing for people to be saying.
I had a Legacy deck that I played for quite a while that was called Strixes and Swayze. You may ask why it was Swayze. It's because Patrick Swayze is awesome, and so is this card.
Magic people name things dumbly.
And I have a deck tech that I have a tournament, like a Legacy tournament at MTG Deals that if you look online, you can probably see me talking about the deck.
Okay.
It's awesome.
There will be a link to that if we can find it.
And I just love this card for a number of reasons. This card is great. You suit it up with equipment. This card is fantastic in Tezzeret decks. It blocks Tarmogoyf really well.
I like it because it interacts really profitably, but not in an oppressive way, with Abzan. Because it's a great answer to Tarmogoyf. It's a decent answer to Rhino, where like they can't attack without dying. You still take damage. It offers a lot of play.
Yeah, another thing I like about this card, and something you'll find about me, is that I really, really love cards that are advantageously recursive from your graveyard. Generally speaking, they have to be a good enough effect that also draws you a card or has some card advantage effect, because cards like Sun Titan or the new Ojutai's Command, Revelark, stuff like that,
right.
These are cards I really love, and this is one of the best ones ever printed for that kind of idea, because it's great early to protect yourself, and it dies, and when it comes back... It's just a pain. It's a pain in the ass for your opponent.
I mean, something also, decks that benefit from this. Tezzerator decks love this card.
Yeah, card's great.
I mean, a specific card that I heard you really like that really needs a 2-drop blue card that's also an artifact, possibly named Architect.
Yeah, it's called Architect.
I mean, there are a lot of decks that are kind of fringe that could using this play. And then, you know, blue-black as a deck color combination Modern doesn't see a lot of play. So just the fact that this encourages that play style, similar to how Abrupt Decay encourages black-green, is something that I think would be really interesting in the format.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. My next card is a gold card. It's kind of funky. It's from Plane Chase. It's called Elodomri's Call, and it is 1 green, 1 white. For an instant, search your library for a creature card, reveal that card, and put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. Now, here's why I think this card is good. You ban Pod, and you ban Greens and Zenith, because those are both cards that are really cheap to get a creature directly into play. And Congregation at Dawn sees play a little bit in Collected Company decks now, but that doesn't get anything into your hand. So this is sort of right in the middle. I think 2 mana is bad enough in Modern that you're not going to play this the same turn you're going to play like a game-breaking creature. But I do think it's nice to have like an elegant and reasonably costed creature tutor to put into green-white-based combo creature combo decks. I don't think 2 mana is like this feels reasonable to me. Maybe I could be wrong, but this seems like right on the edge of power level.
It seems the consistency it could add to either some creature combo decks and or some decks that are just all about the value and single answers, a toolbox deck, seems possibly too strong. I mean, there's always the fear that these kind of really powerful tutors makes a format more homogenous because games start playing out too similarly every game. Like, tutors are dangerous, especially instant speed ones. Obviously, it being green-white means that, you know, it's great in Abzan, which is also another problem because just chaining these into this basically makes it so your deck runs 8 rhinos, which could be theoretically problematic for the format. The other side of that, though, is I do love toolbox cards and being able to tutor for some great, like, one of answers from your sideboard or, like, Scavenging Ooze if you need it seems really cool. It definitely seems a little scary, though, for the format because it's an instant. Like, Glittering Wish is the exact same card, but it's a wish and a sorcery, and it's not good enough, but it's close. This seems much better.
Nobody plays Glittering Wish. It only saw play in one deck recently because it was like part of a really unfair combo. But other than that, that card very rarely sees play unless it's in a deck designed by you and me.
Fair enough. That combo deck, though, powerful. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Fine. Deal. All right.
We artifacts. Have 4 cards left, 1 artifact each and 1 land each.
All right, next, we're going to talk about artifacts. My pick is Curse Scroll. Grisgrol is one mana for an artifact. You can tap three and tap it to name a card. Target opponent chooses a card at random from your hand. If he or she chooses the named card, Grisgrol does two damage to target creature or player. I have a large affinity for this card because of, you know, Mono Black Pox and the first Legacy deck I ever did well with. Beyond that, it definitely offers something really interesting to being able to kind of control the board in a way that makes it so you don't have cards in hand. So it's like the reverse card draw engine. It might be too powerful in burn decks, but it also gives like White Weenie a lot of reach. It also allows, you know, Black Pox like decks, but there's like the 8-rack decks do a lot of cool, interesting things. It plays really kind of well with Liliana of the Veil, but it also makes it, it's not a great card for Abzan because they have so many 4-drops and above.
Sure. I like this card a lot. This is a card that is referenced. This is actually a card that was referenced in the very famous Mike Flores article, Who's the Beatdown, which we have talked about that article several times. And in the original article, when he talks about that, this is one of the cards that he references. This was an all-star way back in the day in Red Slidex. This was like a burn finisher. It's been played over the years to great success. They did a Time Spiral version called Magus of the Scroll, which was like the one red creature version of the same card. It's a card that you have to jump through enough hoops for it to be good that I don't think it would be oppressive in the format. My only concern is because it's so cheap and it's colorless, it goes into a lot of strategies if it becomes legal.
Right.
And anytime you give a card, cough, cough, Spellskite, to every deck, it gets a little dangerous, but I don't think...
Spellskite was so dangerous for the format.
Spellskite's the best card in Modern. Everybody knows that.
Yes, I think one of the reasons they'd be afraid of Grisgrol being in Modern is a little unfair in the sense that it like was kind of what Bitter Blossom or Bloodbraid Elf or Primeval Titan or Valakut were in their days, whereas like this was the format defining card for a while. But I don't think it would be as powerful in Modern because so many things, you know, are already built to pass the Lightning Bolt test that this kind of doesn't really affect the format the same way.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
What is your artifact?
My artifact is Nullrod, maybe would be another one.
Yeah, Nullrod is another one. Yeah, that's what I think would be more interesting to look back there is like, look at the answer cards.
Yeah.
So Nullrod is a really good one where, you know, what Nullrod does is for 2 mana, it shuts down activated abilities of artifacts. So it's kind of a great answer to affinity. And similar to kind of the way that Stony Silence is. In fact, I'm pretty sure Stony Silence is the exact same card.
As Nullrod?
As Nullrod, yes. but only in white.
Yeah.
Which, though, that does make an argument for letting other colors have Stony Silence isn't the worst thing on the planet.
And people have talked about that, like, a number of times, how white has, in Modern, the best answer cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that only white has Stony Silence is, like, sort of stupid. If you're going to give that card...
Giving other decks the ability to not have to play Stony Silence.
Well, and that's the thing about... That's the thing, is, like, I do think Nullrod's interesting because Affinity in Game 1... is so good, it has such a high win percentage, that if every deck had access to Nullrod in Game 2, it would dissuade players from just, like bashing their head against the table playing Affinity.
Right.
Which sometimes, not all the times, but there have been more than one time in the format where that deck has been, like, oppressively good and really obnoxious. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of an interesting idea.
So let's move on to lands. My land pick, I kind of cheated, and I picked a cycle of lands. Dual lands. No, I mean
Cycle of Lands.
I picked the Baron Moor Cycle, also known as the on color cycling cycle.
Right.
They're lands that they only tap for the color mana that they are, and then for that same color you could cycle them. Which is a mechanic, you know, you discard that card and draw a card for one black mana.
Right.
In the case of Baron Moor, and there's one in each color. These cards are pretty much everywhere. It's not like it wouldn't be hard to find them. And they offer a lot of really interesting play.
Right.
Not to mention allowing Loam decks to have a cool card draw engine.
Sure.
Which they don't have and could be interesting. This is also, maybe not this exact cycle, but this is the cycle, or this is the set of cards that I'd see most likely coming into Modern. Because the next time they print cycling, they could very easily just print some type of cycle land cycle.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Which every time, you know, it's just fun saying it because you get to say cycling 3 times in a sentence. But it's definitely, I don't think they're too powerful.
No.
I think it lets you kind of, it anything that lessens Mana Screw or Mana Flood is always something that's important to look at. And they definitely have multiple decks that don't exist right now, they offer a lot of value to those decks possibly existing.
There's also the idea that they've done a lot of... See, I don't actually know if these are even really powerful enough to be, like... I don't know that they would really help Modern all that much. Like, I think they're kind of cool, but, like...
Well, you have the main thing... The main deck right out the gate is Loam. Like, the card draw engine where you just can have one of these and keep Loaming with it. And as long as you have two, you're drawing a card every turn and keep Loaming, which is a really... you know, interesting play style that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I was going to say this. You see duels come into play, tap duels printed like almost every single block that have like some ability. Uh-huh. So they come into play and they scry one, or they come into play and they gain you one life. I don't know that like coming to play tap duels at uncommon that cycled for one of those colors or like hybrid would be the worst thing. Like that actually seems like sort of a cool idea to be printed.
Like for a blue and a colorless cycle and it can tap for, or like for a blue and a white cycle and it makes blue and white mana.
I think you could honestly go like on like friend color, like blue white, white green, stuff like that.
It hybrid could be, cycle.
Yeah, hybrid cycle, and it could come into play tapped. I don't think that's like the worst. It's strictly better than these cards, but these cards aren't in Modern, so you print.
Yeah,
I don't think that would take over the format.
I think those would be rare. I don't think they'd be uncommon, but I think they're definitely playable. I mean, they're for sure playable, but that's like I definitely think they're printable.
So my land is Reshadin Port.
Okay.
This is another kind of fringe, really powerful card. It's from Mercadian Masks. It's tapped to add one colorless mana to your mana pool, one colorless and a tap target land. So this is really obnoxious to play against if you're in a multicolor deck, because if they get it down a turn ahead of you,
they can shut your color off.
Here's the reason that I don't think this is too powerful. Like we said, you wouldn't introduce all these cards at once. You'd introduce some of them. So if this card gets introduced by itself without all the rest of the disruptive cards that go along with Delver decks, I don't think that this is like crazy. Like without Daze, for instance, this is not insane.
I think the issue you run into with this card is so many people have bad memories of when this was standard legal.
Right.
And it was and part of that is the format that was created around it was so much about like resource management and eking out and just making it so you're like, and that was like when Rebels was a deck and like it's just like everything was bad, and this was a big face of why everything was bad.
And it's like really that good.
It definitely offers something. One of the things this format doesn't have though is a good but fair land destruction kind of situation where right. This doesn't really do that. I mean, it shuts you down, but it delays them out, so it definitely delays games. It makes games last longer, which is something I think we're discussing is would be nice if the format had.
This could show up in a control deck, and there aren't really control decks.
All right, so last week at the end of the episode, we actually asked you guys for your possible inclusions from Legacy into Modern, and I'm going to read some of you guys from Twitters that shouted us out because we'd like to reward you for doing those kind of things.
Nice.
First, Cameron Taylor @Flood_Scrivener, who is, you know, mentioned, has tweeted us a few times. He said Memory Lapse, which is a blue colorless counter target spell. You draw a card?
No,
draw
counter card? Target spell you put on top of the library.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's kind of pseudo bounce. Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of like Remand. You just put a card on top, you put the spell on top of their library
instead of you drawing a card.
It's,
right,
it's got the same feel to it though.
Yeah, yeah, where it's the delay. Like bouncing, right. I don't think this would be too powerful. I think this is completely playable, like would just Remand too.
Yeah.
And does the format want decks to be able to play 8 Remands?
I mean, I don't think decks would play 8 Remands. I think the question would just be
which one's better?
Well, and then mana leak. So you just, all that happens is nobody's going to play like 10 to 12 of those
effects. Yeah, you're it's, there are 8 counter spells your deck has.
And
which
a lot of decks
don't
even play 8. A lot of decks play 6.
Yeah, right.
You just have to ask yourself, like, is it better to like actually have the early hard counter? Is it better, like, in a tempo sense, memory lapse
right.
is better than mana leak because they get the spell, but they don't draw a card.
Right. They lose a card.
Yeah.
I think I would play Remands and Memory Lapse. And then I would, and like, it's the one deck that I know that plays both that is still seeing some play for sure is Valkut or Scapeshift decks.
Right.
And I think Memory Lapse is just better for them because all they want to do is delay.
Right.
Delay.
Yeah.
And that lets them do that.
Agreed.
Shamik Islam @ Shamiq. He said that he would like Price of Progress in Modern.
Price of Progress is an awesome card with prop, as it's often referred to, is 1 red, 1 colorless for an instant. Price of Progress deals 2 damage to each player for each non-basic land he or she controls. Seeing as in Modern, most of the time players will have like 4 to 6 non-basics on the table, this is 2 mana for like 4 to 12 damage at instant speed. It kind of seems absurd. It's in the same vein as Blood Moon, which is good because it discourages people from playing really greedy mana bases. And I do think that, like, instead of outlawing fetch lands, you're better off printing more cards that make playing fetch lands like super, super cumbersome. So this card actually is valuable in that sense, but in the same way that losing to a Blood Moon really sucks, taking 8 or 10 at instant speed from this card in decks that play Snapcaster seems obscene. You could, like...
Right. With Snapcaster Mage in Modern, I think it's too powerful. I mean, it is in the line with what we were saying with Stifle, where you limit the amount of non-basics people are playing, which I think is good things. I think we want cards that stop people from playing too many non-basics in the format. Is Price of Progress too strong? Maybe. Should it be maybe reprinting it, but as a 3-drop or something along
that
those lines?
That makes way more sense to me.
Is something that could be interesting.
Yeah, because like you
basically... Because then it costs 5 mana. Snapcaster Mage is the issue with this card, I think.
Yeah, you like, pretty really. Much... Like, which, like, I'm imagining a situation where you're like, okay, you're like, turn 2, Mana Leak, turn 3, end of turn, hold open, counter magic, Price of Progress you for 6 or for 8, depending on how many lands
right.
you played. And then turn 4, untap, Snapcaster prop you again... And do another 8.
Not to mention, burn decks are also already really strong. And this plus Blood Moon, like, it's just so punishing to... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely...
It's right on the edge.
Right. Gray Ghost at Gray Ghost Altars, spelled with an E.
Yep.
He actually gave us a few cards. He wants Force of Will, Hymn to Torok, Sinkhole, and Stifle on the format. We agree with you on Stifle.
Force of Will, too powerful. Hymn to Torok, too powerful. Wasteland, too powerful. Did you say Wasteland?
No, he said Sinkhole.
Oh, yeah,
which is black, black, destroy target land. Those are all really good cards.
Those are all cards that make me want to kill myself playing against. I'll just throw Tangle Wire on the pile with you and apologize for that right now because I'm just shooting myself in the foot.
Oh, that's amazing. All right. Beyond that, who's next? Gonna edit a lot. Zerifiel, who we've had tweet at us a couple times, has given us a card that shouldn't be in the format and does actually break the rules. He said, Jace the Mindswaller.
Oh.
All right. Go back. Zerifiel, Zerify All, I think is actually how it is. He said, Jace the Mind Sculptor, you broke the rules. It's not supposed to be cards that are banned, you cheater.
Though, for the record, like, we have talked before about would it be okay to unban Jace in Modern. The answer is no, but yeah. it's definitely been on, like, this podcast discussed with more
I
don't
than
think
one. I think we will one day do an episode, because I think it's worth it, just, like, maybe the next looking at a card will be a card that's
Jace.
Banned is just Jace, and the reason, like, why or why it should or why it should not be banned in the format is interesting, but the short answer is no, it shouldn't be unbanned.
Here's a question for you guys. So we all know Jace the Mind Sculptor is the most powerful Jace ever printed, but they've also printed a lot of Jaces now over the last several years. I would be interested to doing an episode that is ranking the Jaces best to worst for Modern.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I think because they're all very unique cards, actually, when you think about it. They
yeah,
all
they draw cards, they mill, they
yeah,
do
yeah, something. Yeah, but I think that would be a really fun,
yeah, I can be
a
down
really
to
fun
do that.
Episode. So tweet at us if you want to actually hear us do that.
So yeah, that was everyone who kind of shouted us last week. If we missed yours, I apologize. It was lost in the week and a half of time it's been since we recorded the podcast and people started tweeting us. We do appreciate it, though. This week, we actually have a question for you guys. What card do you think that we said is bonkers ridiculous? Please yell at us. The question is, what card did we say today that we're just blatantly wrong on and should never be in Modern?
Or you can answer that one. Or if you want to, you can rank what you think the 3 best fits for Modern are of the 16 we mentioned.
Right. Either one works. You can either yell at us or agree with us. You can tell which one of us is a glutton for punishment.
Yep.
Beyond that, that's kind of it for today. To wrap everything up, you know, always follow us on Twitter. We just mentioned a way to tweet at us, what you should tweet at us. We are at the MMCast. I am at Kess Wiley.
I am at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter, Instagram, and now Periscope.
Don't go to Periscope. It's weird. We have started posting these to YouTube. So if you're on YouTube right now, subscribe. There's a button down to the right-hand corner. If you are on iTunes, subscribe there also. Just wherever you're listening to this, subscribe, because then you keep finding out about it. It'd be great. Beyond that, we want to make sure that you guys check out our sister podcast, The Command Zone. They do Commander content. So as we are the look at, you know, tournament play Magic and heavy construction competitive Magic, they're more of the casual, broad strokes look at Magic the Gathering
How
as a whole.
How to have the most fun and win in casual formats.
Right. So check them out. They're awesome. They're also on rocketjump.com. Last but not least, goodbye.
Bye, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.